Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate the songs. I really feel like it's such a vital part of our service. And I thank those that take that to heart. Last week we studied some about the water of life. And we looked into a number of the scriptures. One of the scriptures we read was the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You know, the Lord came to quench our thirst, and he said that we would never thirst again because it's going to be in us a well of water springing up. And so, we appreciate that the Lord gives us a drink and again and again and keeps us from thirsting in that way. I want to talk about another little part of that today and maybe look at a different aspect. You know, water is a wonderful thing. And it symbolizes something that the Lord gives us. We have to have water. But we have to have food too. And you know, the Lord has given some things about food as well. And I want to think about something. I really feel like the Lord gave this to me this morning. Or not this morning, but been talking to me about it some this week. And in Luke, the 15th chapter, and 11th verse, we read a real familiar story here about the prodigal son. And I just want to look at this and study a little of what the Lord said to us in this parable in Luke 15 and 11 to 32. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, I want to notice a few things as we go through here. This young man, it says, wasted his substance with riotous living. Do you think that this was just all drudgery? Do you think that maybe there was some enjoyment in this for him? I think there was. I do. He was having fun, you know, not all the time, but he was having his fun and he was having his parties and he was doing what he wanted to do. And he was being very indiscriminate about what he had been given. And, you know, it's that way in life. This young man went out like this. And he went out in high style. This man went out with a lot. He had a lot more than the boys around him had. And so he went out and just began to blow it. And to use it. And to enjoy it. But I want us to remember something today. Life is in some ways long. And there is a lot of things in life. That wasn't the only point in his life. That was a very small area of his life. He went out, I don't know whether it was a year, 6 months, 3 years, 5 years. But just from what I've perceived in people's lives, this probably wasn't very long. Maybe a couple, 3 years or 5 years or something. Maybe that long, maybe. And then the story begins to tell us what really does happen in life. And this young man, it says in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, I can think of a lot of jobs, but feeding pigs is one of them I would not want to do. That to me is way on down there. Do you know what Jesus is telling us here? Folks, he's giving us a preview of what happens in life. He's giving us a preview, a pre-look at life. And I want to ask us this morning, I really believe the Lord is wanting us to hear some things this morning. This young man spent all that he had. And you know, sometimes we go out and some of us have different things. Some boys are strong, some girls are pretty. Some people have fame. They were born into it almost. Or some of them were. And you know, he went out and all that he had, he used up. And then he began to be in want. And lo and behold, a mighty famine came in the land. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. But we know one thing, something's going to happen. And it's not always going to be what we want. But it does happen this way, most of the time. And do you know that he began to be in want? He began to be in need. And where was his friends? Where were his friends that he had spent all that with and had all that nice time with, those few short months or years that he had? What happened to them? Well, this is a story that's replayed over and over and over. When we were young, I remember Brother Sammons so many times over and over talking to us and telling us the tears that he had seen shed and the regrets that he had seen people have. I will tell you, it don't take very much working with people to find out that there are a lot of tears shed, folks. And there are a lot of people in want. And do you know that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Do you know this is the way life turns around this morning? Now, you know, I'm not going to say that he never had any fun in sin, but I will say that after a little while, it all turned around. And there was an awful price to pay. You know, this man went out, and it says he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Whatever it was that they ate, that the pigs ate, that word fain, I never realized what that word means. That word is interpreted in other places desire. It's interpreted lust. He longed for this. He longed for what the pigs were eating. They were having it better than him. And he was hungry. Now who was he working for that wasn't feeding him? Surely, shouldn't he feed him something to keep him from being hungry? No. Not necessarily. That's the way life is this morning. You go out and you serve and you give and you're generous. And then you find out, where are my friends? Maybe I had the wrong kind of friends. Maybe things turned out, the famine came. I didn't expect that. I didn't get ready for that. You know what this morning? This is a true picture of life. And this young man, at a young age, began to be in want, and so badly in want that he envied the pig's feed. And he saw them, and he looked at that, and it says, and no man gave unto him. Now, I don't know how much he was allowed to eat of the pig's feed. I don't know if he ate any of it. I don't know the situation here. But I will tell you this, he was hungry, and he was needy this morning. You know, and it says, when he came to himself, you know, there came a time that he came to himself. I want us to remember something. Even if we never land like this, I want to say this. There's coming a day that we're going to be in want too. If it's only at the judgment, we're going to be in want. And I want to tell you, I don't want to be in want when it comes to the judgment day. I want to be ready for that day. Do you know that this man came to himself? You know, I think about the tears that Brother Sammons used to tell us about, that people cried. I have witnessed many of those tears. And I want to tell you, it's a hard thing to sit by and see somebody that the devil has decimated. Or it don't happen maybe in their time so much. Maybe they didn't go out there and just give themselves. Well, I want to tell you something. Then the time comes and the children come on. And the grandchildren come on. And then they come to themselves. Oh, what have I done? These kids don't know the way to God. They don't know how to get there. They don't know how. They don't know their way back. I know my way back, but they don't. You know, this morning, these things are very real. I want to encourage us today. The Lord is giving us a pre-look into the future of our lives. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants to bless your life and fill it up. And we'll read some of those things about what God wants to do. This young man came to himself. And listen to what he said. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, some way he came to himself and realized. Now, when he was going out, I'm sure that he was thinking, that they go to work every day. Their life is mundane, and I'm going out to have my fun. You know, that's what he was thinking. But I want to tell you, he found another picture, didn't he? A picture that is replayed over and over and over. And this morning, I don't know why, but I want to tell you something. You know when the devil doesn't like something. And before this message, the devil fought me fiercely on this. I believe the Lord gave it. And I want to ask us this morning, the Lord is looking for you and me to hear His Word and to see the preview of life and to see what lies ahead before it happens and to realize, you know what, this young man could have said before all of this, as his brother did, I'm going to be a faithful young man. And you know, he could have looked on what he had and realized the peace and prosperity in his household. And he could have looked on his dad and he could have said, here is a man that I want to be like. He could have done all of those things, but you know what? He didn't do that, did he? He looked on those things out there that would satisfy the lust of his flesh for a moment, and then they were gone. And you know, this morning, he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants, not even a son, how many of his hired servants have plenty to eat and more than enough, and I'm perishing with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Folks, I want to tell you something. The lowest in the kingdom of God has it better than those that serve the devil. Now, they may for a moment of time have some high pleasure, but I want to tell you something. If you serve the Lord with all your heart, don't think for a minute you're not going to possess some of the peace of His kingdom and some of the blessings of His life and some of the good things of God and taste the things of the world to come. The Lord wants to give us those things this morning. And so this young man, he remembered. He had a privilege. He had seen what it was to have that kind of thing. And he remembered. And he said, I'm no more worthy. I'll go to my father and I'll just tell him, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You know what? One of the things that surprises me, but I know it's true, that when people go out in sin, they fear to come back. They fear that God won't want them. They fear the saints won't want them. And I'm thinking, how could they think such a thing? It's what it's all about. And so when we see folks, people return like this, do you think the Lord holds them at arm's length? No, He takes their sin. He casts it as far as the east is from the west. And then He remembers it against them no more. And you know what? His people are like that too. You know, will it take some time to gain trust? Oh, yeah, probably. But you know what? The Lord wants His people to come in. He wants you and me to come in wherever we are or wherever we've been. I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to just come in. He wants us to sit down. He wants to kill the fatted calf for us. And He wants to give us of His bounty this morning. But the Father, yes, He said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. My son was dead and is alive. And he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And then we know the story. His eldest son came in, and we find it was a little hard for him for a while, but you know, I expect he got over that. You know, his father said on down in verse 30, verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Do you know this morning? That's the way we feel too. When one is lost and is found. I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where everyone is, but I want to say this. The Lord longs for us to come home to Father's house. And I want to tell you, saints, He has a feast for us too. The other son did not miss out on this. The other son had good things to spare every day. And the Lord has that for us in His house today. I want to read another in Luke 14, just back a chapter or so. Luke 14 and 15. Listen to this parable. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Do you know this morning? The first said unto him, listen to this. I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Do you know this morning, I have wondered at this parable. Here was this feast, and here was all of this spread set before us. And I can only think, we had a little 4th of July get together with some of my family and some other people on Friday night. And I went over to my brother's house, and you know, they had ribs, and they had different kinds of meats and salad and tomatoes on it and all of that good stuff and some kind of peppers with bacon on it. And I will tell you, it was good. And I went to another get together another night And the ribs there, I've never had ribs like that before. They had meat on those ribs. You didn't have to pick and look for something to eat. Do you know the Father has spread for us today? And, you know, He has called. And the thing that has amazed me about this parable is, well, then why did they start making an excuse? If this was so good, why? You know what? Jesus was just telling us the way it is. I want to ask you this morning, are you making an excuse? Or are you getting up to Father's table? Last week we talked about living water that the Lord wanted to flow through your soul and enough to come out to continually refresh you. He said you'll never thirst again if you drink of this water. You know why? Because He said another place, it's going to be in you a well springing up. That's the way it is. Folks, I will tell you why people begin to make excuses. Because the same thing this young man saw, the lust of his flesh, the things that he saw out there that drew his desires out. That's why people turn from this good table of peace, of happiness, of the things God wants to bring. And instead of that downward spiral that happens so often, it's altogether opposite of that. The scriptures say, what is the scripture about, He maketh rich. You know, the Lord maketh His people, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, folks. And that He addeth no sorrow with it. There's no sorrow of the world. No sorrow that I didn't serve God. I didn't do what I knew I should have done. The Lord doesn't add any of that with His. So I want to encourage us this morning. What is your excuse? Do you have an excuse, or are you coming up to Father's table and enjoying those things? I will tell you what happens. We begin to feed the desires of the flesh, and that's where we go. And that's why that we don't do this. That's why we begin to make excuse. We begin to see those things that we want, that life of prosperity that we want, that we begin to say, I bought a farm. I've done this. I can't. Someday I will, but I can't right now. And we begin to make excuses because of the desires we have. I want to encourage us this morning. There is only one way to make it, and that is to decide, I will go this way. I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to let anything get ahead of it. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to serve Him with all my heart. You know what? This morning, the Lord is looking for those kind of people today because He has a feast spread. And I want to tell you, there's meat on the ribs at His table. There's good things that He wants to give us. There's peace in His house. But I will tell you, so many times we do it this way. And He goes on to say here, and another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, I'll come when I get all settled and get things in my life right. I'll come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want to tell you, those are fearful words to me. But the Lord said them, not me. The Lord said those words. You know what, this morning? We better be careful, or we won't taste of that the Lord has. I want to encourage us today to not make any excuses. There are so many good things on the table, and I want to mention a few of those things. We trade contentment for ambition, don't we, if we're not careful? We trade contentment for ambition. Ambition don't bring contentment, folks. Contentment is lost with ambition of this life. Contentment is lost to there. We trade godliness for ungodliness. It's a poor trade. It's a very poor trade. Godliness uplifts a nation. Godliness uplifts a man or a woman and a home and a child. Ungodliness does just the opposite. This young man, when it came time for him to have a promotion in life, he was older. It was time for him to move up the rung of the business world a little bit. You know where he went? He went to feed hogs. The promotion of fools, folks, is shame. Get it in your heart today. The promotion of fools. This man was a fool in the way he handled life. And you know what? When it came time for his promotion, it was shame. And that was his promotion. He went to feed the hogs. And then he went crying back home with nothing. And no hope in the future either. Because he had unspoiled all that he had. Do you know this morning, the Lord doesn't want it to be that way. And so he wants to give us, he has on the table those things that make our life rich. He has on the table those things that promote our life. I'm not talking about promote us in a way of ungodly, some kind of esteem. I'm talking about they bless our life, don't they? Our faith becomes stronger. Our marriage becomes better if we both let the Lord do that. Do you know that the Lord wants those things for us? We trade purity for sensual delight. Do you know what? When we do that, we are sore losers, aren't we? We're sore losers. Don't ever get it backwards to that. We trade a clean conscience for lust, and it doesn't satisfy our longings. I want to tell you, many times, I know I'm not that old, but many times I've prayed with those that bawl, that cry, that plead, Lord, that the devil has stolen from. You know what this morning? God's table has a clean conscience. God's table has dignity. God's table has something of respect that builds something into marriage. It builds something with our children. It builds rapport with those around us that know us the best. Do you know what? That's what God wants to do in our lives today. Those things come at a price, but they're on the table this morning. Let's don't trade those things. Let's don't make excuse. Yes, but, you know, I just want to enjoy this for a little time. I'm coming back, but I'm just going to enjoy it. Let's don't make that trade. We trade eternal life, just like Eve did, for promises, and then receive eternal damnation. That's what we do as people. We trade eternal life. We trade those things that God wants to give us eternally, wants to give us forever with Him in His presence. And we trade that as Eve did. If we're not very careful, we'll be talked out of it. And we'll trade it for eternal damnation. What a trade. What a trade. What a trade Eve made. What a trade she made that brought all kinds of bad things into her life and home and sorrow this morning. I know I haven't preached like this in a while, but I really feel like the Lord has something for us here this morning. Folks, let's hearken to what's on the table. Eternal life is on the table. When we come and we feed at Father's table, eternal life is on the table. Fulfillment, reaching where the Lord feeds us over and over. That's on the table, isn't it? We trade that, folks, if we're not careful. Isaiah 30 and 15, I'll just quote that. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall be ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. and you would not. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give us a confidence in life and a strength in life. But he said you would not. You know, this morning, we're going to have to decide within our heart and life, I will. I will all my life. I will do the Lord's will. I will give myself wholly and completely unto him, because that's the only way it works this morning. And so we trade wrath and a disquieted heart for quietness and confidence. We trade the things of the flesh to follow those desires of the flesh that we have, and we trade wrath for peace. And we pray, we trade that disquieted heart. We take that for the peace that God wants to give us in our lives. I just want to throw these things out there this morning. The Lord help us. The Lord draw us. Oh, the Lord fill our souls with his bread from heaven. The Lord give us in our life that satisfies, that we can fill up on, that we can come back to time and time again and be filled. And our thirst be quenched, because every day we drink at the fountain again. Because we humble ourselves before the Lord, because we put him first, and because we allow him that place in our life today. Oh, may the Lord bless each one of us today. What excuse are we going to make? Are we going to have eternal life or not? Are we going to trade instruction in righteousness for our own mind and lose? Are we going to trade God's wisdom for man's wisdom? Or are we going to take God's wisdom? Are we going to depart from evil like he says? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Depart from evil. That's what the Lord wants us to do, and do righteousness. The Lord wants us to do. Are we going to trade peace for prosperity in a financial sense? Or are we going to say, I want peace in my life. I want peace in my home. And there isn't any price on it. And yes, whatever it cost me, I want to have those things. Whatever it cost, I want to have these things. First and foremost, I just want to put that out there again. Are we going to trade for forgiveness that's on the Father's table? Isn't forgiveness wonderful? I heard a minister say one time, we don't have anything but forgiveness. That's all we can do. We forgive one another. That's all we can do. But what if we don't? Bitterness, hatred, strife, all kinds of problems like that. Oh, we can garner it up in our heart. We can have a heart all full of that garbage within. And we can live our life like that and then have eternal damnation. Or we can come to the Father's table. And he is asking today, who wants to eat at my table? Who wants to lay down all their excuses and say, I don't have any excuse. Lord, I'm going to go your way, all the way, with all my heart, and I'm not going to hold back anything. And I'm going to give my life to you. All the way to the end, I'm going to give my life to you. Oh, I want to tell you, good things get better when you do that this morning. Lay down the excuses. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, listen to what Jesus, or what Paul actually wrote here. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. 10 and 21, I'm sorry. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. I have seen it many times when people want both worlds. And isn't that true? So many times, both worlds, the best of both. You know what? It doesn't work that way. Jesus told us through inspiration here, the Lord told us, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils, and you can't eat at the Lord's table and at the table of devils. I'm not going to share. I won't do it that way. You can't be my disciple unless you give your whole heart unto me. And so that's a little stout, isn't it? But that's when it works, folks. That's when it begins to work in our life. That's when God begins to talk to us. Now then I carve out time for the Lord. Now then I don't say, but I did this. I got this. I can't because, no, there isn't any can'ts. Because I'm going to serve the Lord first and foremost. And then everything else is going to come behind that. Folks, when we live our life like that, the Lord will feed us. When we live our life like that, He will heal us. He will heal our ills. He will heal the troubles that we have in our soul if we will let Him. It's on His table this morning. So the Lord bless. Maybe we'll read a little more here. Matthew 22 and 2 to 14. I'm going to read this a little bit faster. Kind of recounting what we read in the other. In Luke, Matthew 22. And listen to this. Verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now, why would they not come to the wedding? The king made a marriage for his son, and I'm sure he spread a feast and all that. Jesus is just telling us the way it is today. This is the way it is. We have to decide, I'm going. I'm going to turn aside from my own life, my own desires, my own lust, the things that I would do, and give myself to Him. Again, He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. We've got marinated steaks here. We've got all of these things. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. And cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, the Lord is using a little parable here to describe something much greater. And He said, this is like a wedding. And they didn't come and they wouldn't come. And He said in the end, the king said, you bind them hand and foot, and you cast them into outer darkness. You know what He's doing? He's telling us that's the way it's going to be at the judgment. And so this morning, His call is to all of us. He's calling us to come to Him. He's calling us to make Him our satisfying portion in life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That's in John 6 and 35. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know why? Because He's just going to keep feeding us. That's why. And we're not going to be as this prodigal was. That he said, I perish with hunger. But he said, I want you to come. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. One other place, and on down in John 6, verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Do you know this morning Jesus likened himself to the bread that gives life? He likened himself to the water that gives life and refreshment. And so this morning, let's look to the Lord. Lord, evermore give me this bread. Fill the hunger. Are you hungry this morning or thirsty? I want to tell you the Lord wants to fill you up. And He wants to keep filling you up so that you never feel like you're perishing with hunger. The Lord bless each one of us.